Again, thank you, those of you that have been putting forth extra effort, because as I've told you too many times, I'm in the midst of major dental work. Today, about 5.5 hours. And I got out of the chair about 9:10 over on the west side. And those of you that go there occasionally know the traffic problems. So I came straight here. I've been telling you I hate dentists, but today I'm convinced that I've somehow communicated to them and the feeling's mutual. I know you're going to love these delicious details. What I hate is when they do it on, they stay on one tooth. I mean, they did a little bit all over and refitted these temporaries I have in my mouth. No, I'm not going to have false teeth. That's what all this is about. There's nothing wrong with false teeth. But as I said a week ago with me as your pastor and preaching in the cathedral, the way I get worked up on occasions, it'd be like I'd get worked up and there'd be a lawnmower going through the congregation. So as long as I can save the teeth that I have, I'm hanging on to them. But it's a painful and long process. And after fiddling around all over, then they discovered that unexpectedly, in addition to everything else today, they're going to do a root canal. I've lost count of how many root canals I've had. But then after they got done doing the root canal in the same place, what was scheduled, which is to cut a layer of the gum back, followed that. And after they finished that, and I asked them at one brief moment, I said, has anybody ever jumped out of the chair and threatened to jump out the window? And they said, no. And I said, not yet. Then they decided the same tooth needed a post. So I feel like the whole Los Angeles riots condensed and been done on one side of my mouth. And they said, you're going to teach at 9 o'clock? I said, yes. Well, we'll not put so much anesthetic in so you'll be able to talk. And they didn't. I can tell you they didn't. I don't even have a Bible. I tried to ease the pain today by going back and reviewing conjugations of Hebrew verbs. So I'm sitting there going through these things, one after another, trying to get my mind off of them while they're drilling around. I'm sitting there with my usual double set of glasses, and they're in my mouth, like that, I don't know. Conjugating Hebrew verbs or relearning word endings that I've gone rusty on in the Greek. I don't even have a Bible. Somebody here better loan me one, because I would like to do a little teaching on Ephesians. But I need to calm down a little bit. The only thing I'm glad for is they've taken some of the gravel they left in my mouth last time. I'm going to put up that rough edge stuff. You've got to take care of that. And they did. And they were making me find some words difficult. So I made them try to give me an ability to say Superman sustained Sosthenes sustained syndrome. And last week I couldn't say that. I couldn't say Sosthenes for the love or money. Now there's a few curse words I still can't say, but at speed, that is. I can say them slowly, but not at speed, which is the way I usually do that exercise. I cannot reel off the memorized speech of Australian sailors with the speed I used to. But I can say Thucydides and Sosthenes. And last week, for the life of me, I couldn't say Sosthenes. So that makes me happier. I mean, there's certain things I wanted to say this coming Sunday and through this week that I could not say last week, so we're making progress. I've told you it'll be this way for many weeks. I expect to... the other day I asked the Lord to give me 40 more years pastoring the church. I pledged to stay here till I was 120. My dad's death gave me fresh anticipation of the departure, but I want at least 40 more years. And I've asked the dentist to make sure that we don't have to do this again for at least another 15 or 20 years. He has assured me, but it is a lengthy process, and there'll be 2 and 3 days of each week. I'm rather amazed that I made it here tonight. And 2 and 3 days of each week will be occupied. I can't teach very well without a mouth. I will never finish preaching through every verse of the Bible if it's done strictly by sign language. And I do intend, before I finish here, to have, not in a sequential way, but over the years of pastoring, I believe the Lord will let me eventually have preached on every chapter in the Bible. Somebody, if Jesus tarries, can then assemble them in sequential order if they want. I want to return to Jeremiah that we might finish that book, though I've taught on it many, many times. We were teaching consecutively through it. We are, whether you're aware of it or not, well along through the book of Exodus, camped out on the coverings of the tabernacle when I do another live communion. And right now, a book we have not in detail gone through since I've been pastor of this church, the book of Ephesians. So somebody loan me a Bible to one of the guys. They'll bring it to me later. Right now, I want to know that you're there. I can use all the sympathy you can give me as long as it includes the things that you're supposed to pledge throughout this week until 3,000 have committed themselves and told me I can count on you. So get on telephone. To those who joined us this half hour, I'm not too sure how long I'll be able to stay here tonight. I came straight here from about 5.5 hours in the dentist chair. I still feel a little stiff in my mouth as the Novocaine wears off. I don't know how I'm going to feel when the Novocaine's gone. I don't know how many root canals. Anybody ever had a root canal in here? Everyone that goes to hell should get one on entrance. Agree with that? I don't know how many I've had, but each one is worse. Either I'm getting more sensitive as I get older, or I don't know what it is. It's just worse. Lord, deliver me from any more. Fort Worth, Texas, New King's House. Been sporting for a while. Arlington, Texas. I've watched now for some time Dr. Scott's program. I'd like to sign up for a King's House number, and I'd also like to sign up for a tither number. Peru, South America. Watching SpaceNet 2. I think Dr. Scott is a positive person in life, and I think he should continue his teaching, making people feel good. See, that's another one of the things I told you about SpaceNet 2. It may take a little more work to line it up on the West Coast, though I have no trouble with a motorized normal satellite dish. And you can get a satellite installer to come and help you. SpaceNet 2, in fact, If Darryl will get over here a little later and the director will guide him, we have a picture of the satellites in the sky, North American satellite guide, and you'll be able to see where SpaceNet 2 is on the eastern spectrum in relation to Westar 5, where it used to be. But SpaceNet 2 is positioned much better for what will become and is becoming our worldwide radio base. Is positioned for a satellite receiver and a leapfrog to Instelsat. West coast to Europe, some big dishes can pick it up, and because of its positioning, it's much easier to see in South America. So here's a perfect sample. I think this is probably the first call we've gotten from Peru, where someone is watching us on. We've gotten radio calls, but watching us on satellite, SpaceNet 2. Lakewood, California, first time hearing 1610 AM. Topeka, Kansas, 1610's coming in loud and clear, so 690. And Kissimmee, Florida, Pastor Leslie Hale, an old friend that I went to teach and on a teaching mission in downtown Belfast, Ireland. Nice to hear from Pastor Leslie Hale. Puerto Rico, Vega Alto, one of the 3,000 calling in. St. Croix, Virgin Islands, I listen every night. I never turn you off. 1610 AM. Kingston, Jamaica, listening on 5920. Keep the lectures going. Very interested. Requested a tape list. Trinidad, West Indies, wants the Truth Magazine. Newry, North Ireland, one of the 3,000 calling in all the way. That's one from Puerto Rico calling, and one from Newry, North Ireland. So surely you can call in this area. Guadalajara, Mexico. Fascinated with the teachings. And they want the truth in the pulpit. New World Band 1448. As the World Band keeps growing. Come on now. You regulars, get on the phone and let me count on 3,000 this week. Henry Ward Beecher, the great preacher of a previous generation, once said on his lectures to some young preachers at a seminary, if the congregation feels sorry for you, when you start, half the battle's won. That's why I'm crying about my dental pains. And as most of you now know, for several months, really, I will be a couple of days a week involved in major dental reconstruction. I can talk a little better today than last week. Boise, Idaho says, Doc, if you can say Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled pepper, you are doing well. Hey, that's easy. Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled pepper. I got one better than that. Heard about the guy that was looking for a job in the Depression. The only job he could get was in a little play in town. He only had one line. All he had to do was run out and say, Hark, I heard a pistol shot. Well, he practiced all week. Hark, I heard a pistol shot. Dry run. Came the night of the big event. He ran out there and he saw the crowd and froze. He said, Hark, I heard a shistle pot. I mean, apostle spit. Who shared that pot? Oh, shoot, I'm fired. I made it through it, didn't I? You try it. You're on telephone. Why cannot every person who watches me call and say what this Berkeley caller is saying? I'm calling to encourage Pastor. Holding his arms up. And if you are anywhere near, this person's in Berkeley, that's 700 miles away, looking forward to being in the cathedral this Sunday. We're going through. Now, why can't everybody call me and at least say you're calling to encourage Pastor holding his arms up? I keep telling you the difference between this ministry on television and other kinds of Christian television. There's another Christian network that has one voice primarily, but plays entertainment for the family, and that's okay. Another major network that has, in essence, assembled an eclectic conglomerate of Christians of all kinds, occasionally canceling each other out in their doctrine. And that's okay. If you're mature enough to handle it, this is one voice. This is a worldwide television church. One pastor, one teacher, assembling saints who want to listen to a certain trumpet, teaching the whole Word of God. And you ought to identify. Playa del Rey, your teaching on Ephesians has opened my eyes to this calling. Don't have to take any more calls. Finish the calls you are on, please. Finish them, but keep your voice down. Ephesians chapter 1. I'm still in the first chapter. Over and over again. Tonight, I'm going to go teaching with the 26 translations, which many of you have copies of. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. A lot of manuscripts do not include the words in Ephesus. It's pretty much beyond refutation that the letter was to the Ephesians, but it had a general application. A purer translation would be to the saints and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. That means we're included. No man cometh to the Father save the Spirit draw him. The word saints has at its root hagios. Many times I've pointed out that has nothing to do with righteousness. It's a prelude to God working his righteousness in us. But you need to distinguish between sainthood, saints, sanctification, and righteousness. Righteousness is an outbreak of God's own nature on the stage of time. Only God can be righteous. You cannot. Any righteousness we offer is self-righteousness, which God views as filthy rags. If I have a quarrel with the church at large, it's populated with too many who are second and third generation Christians who know what God's standards of righteousness are, and by will worship and will applied, they seek to duplicate it through human discipline and effort. It cannot be done. Our best effort falls short. Only God himself, who cannot sin, by his Spirit in us, working through us, can be himself, which is the definition of spirituality, and thus an expression of his righteousness outworking in and through us. Saints are people who have given themselves, offered themselves. It's a liturgical word. It has to do with commitment. You offer yourself to Him. We then, because of our faith action, become habitations, a house of God, where His Spirit in us begins to work His righteousness. The 20th century New Testament translates saints to Christ's people. That's close. Saints are those who offer themselves. The existential state that results is we belong to Him. We are the Lord's. Thus, saints can be interpolated to Christ's people. Grace be to you and peace, blessed, or from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You need to get your focus re-tuned every day. Is this room going in circles? The room I'm sitting in is. The only pain pills I've ever taken are aspirin or Buffering. I let myself be talked because of slicing off a section of my gum into taking something I thought only women took, Motrin or something like that. My Lord, I never took Motrin before in my life, and it's just starting to hit me. Women are superior creatures if you can walk straight with that pill. He said you need it because it fights inflammation. Dr. Bedell, is that right?
Yes, sir.
Well, I prefer the inflammation. What was a 26th translation Bible is 126th translation. There's nothing that Dennis does that doesn't increase my hatred for him. I most of the time think I'm a reasonably smart fellow. To think I paid for this. I bet I have dentists in my church that do this for me free. Then at least I could say I didn't pay for this. Are you green? Is that your shirt? Not you, him. Well, let's try again. It hit me just as I was reading, grace be to you and peace. And as I was starting to say, the blessings of Christianity, we need to get a new focus. All these blessing pack people running around would make Christianity be measured by the blessings you get now. Get your starting point right. He hath blessed us with all, nothing held back, spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. We'll come later to joint heirs. I really don't think many Christians care about that. I really don't. They'll leave a ministry any day that teaches it right, that our unchanging, unqualified, uncorrupted, never to be taken from us, blessing is in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The blessings down here that are part of the journey on occasions are icing on the cake. If you haven't got that focus, you're never going to make it. Never going to prove up that you are one of these recipient of that blessing. Because the next sentence flows right out of it. According as he hath chosen us. I've been on that every night that I've taught on it. It's in the middle voice in the Greek. A form of the word that we do not have in the English. That by the very formation of the letters of the word make it clear that he chose us for himself. I use the corny illustration. You can slice pie up and cut off a piece or a cake for someone else, or just cut it in general. You also know when you've seen that pie or that cake and finally the spirit of lust takes over and you cut a piece for yourself. Be prepared to lose your arm to the elbow if you try to take a bite of that one. When I've cut my piece of pie, that's mine. Nobody can cut pie for me like I can cut pie for me. In that corny illustration, the middle voice is portrayed. It's too hot in here. Turn the cooler down. I mean, I'm getting hot flashes now, taking Motrin. Dennis is going to be sorry he gave me his home phone tonight when I get out of here. According, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. No verse or chapter division in the original. According, flowing right out of that sentence, as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, chose us, the word means chose us for himself. Even as, Wayman's translation has it, he chose us as his own. There's the middle voice coming out. In Christ, before the creation of the world. I don't feel I've communicated that adequately yet. I don't think it has settled in. You either are part of that number that he chose out of the world and its mass and its stream of population for himself before the worlds were ever formed, when the lamb slain from the foundation of the world, his beloved son, was there before that very Son became the speaking word of God to create the universe and all the universes. And before the world was formed and before the statement was made, let us make man in our image. I and you, those of us destined, having these spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus, were chosen. Can you get off the track? The scripture suggests you can. You can grieve the Spirit away. You can continue to sin willfully until the Spirit departs. But you can know this, the desire that has kept you pressing on, the desire that's made you offer yourself, the hunger for God's word of direction, your recognition with sight to see, when a gift minister is shining the light from God's word, that proves that the Holy Spirit's drawing you. You're going to break the connection, not him. Wherever you are tonight, a bruised reed shall he not break. Smoking flax, that little spark of fire still on the ember, or that ember still on the wick in a Hebrew lamp, smoking flax shall he not quench, because he chose you. As his own, in Christ, as he loved his son, he chose us in him, that we should be holy. Again, I say, not as the ground of the choice, holy being committed to him, given over to him. Goodspeed translates it to be consecrated. That's close. It has to do with commitment, not performance. And he chose us that we should be the committed ones. Obviously, deserving of blame. Otherwise, the next sentence is without meaning. He chose us before the worlds were formed to be consecrated, to be set apart, chose us for himself, that we should be ones who offer ourselves to him and stand without blame before him in love. Many versions put in love. The original, remember, had no punctuation. Transfer in love as the first word of the next verse. And maybe you ought to do that, and let's read it that way. It's in agape, in the Greek, based upon intrinsic value in the object being loved. If you take in love off of that fourth verse and have it start the fifth, it'll read like this. In love, having an intrinsic value. In love, having predestinated or foreordained us unto adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. In love, seeing a value intrinsic in us, out of all those in the world, he foreordained us to be adopted into his family. How stupid, eternally juvenile, limited in understanding, is an ethnic identity or any kind of identity when you put it alongside this membership in God's family. If you want me to continue, get on the phone. I hope you're praying for me. You that joined us this half hour, I'm still looking for 3,000 as I do each week. It'd be wonderful when I can say the 3,000 is in. We're looking for 4,000. The 3,000 has a special significance. We started this ministry claiming the promise in the seventh book of the Bible, the seventh chapter, the seventh verse. By the 300 will I save, and we've made it ours. Multiplied by 10, which is the number of human responsibility, you have the number by which the church was born. And 3,000 has special significance to us, which is why I want 3,000 calling each week. You pay your tithe, you that feed at this storehouse that we open each night for spiritual food. And you pay your tithe here to this storehouse when you get it. The tithe is the Lord's, the first fruits of the Lord's. But I'm asking that 3,000 go beyond that on the weeks that you don't get paid. Make provision for an offering, no matter how small, so you're one of the 3,000 that establish this connection each week in faith and tell me I can count on you. Now, I haven't got the 3,000 yet for this week, and I want it. Here's Barbados, listening on the Caribbean Beacon. Third night I've been calling in. The teaching on Ephesians is great, and I want to hear more. Why don't you become a King's House? The King's House makes a commitment to try to listen or watch at least once a week. You already watch three times. And commits to support in some way, however small or however large. Come on, be a king's house. Knox, translation of the New Testament, has the fifth verse of the first chapter of Ephesians read, marking us out beforehand. In love, marking us out beforehand, because he saw an intrinsic value and flowed his love to us for that reason. He marked us out beforehand. And the Amplified Version has the rest of it read, because it pleased him and was his kind intent. A lot of people will look at you and the path you're following to respond to God's call and offer yourself, rejoicing in his good pleasure of having chosen you. A lot of people would argue with that choice. They would rearrange you and change you and make measuring up to them the ground of his choice. He chose you because he wanted to. Well, I wouldn't have chosen you. You're not doing the choosing. He did it because it pleased him and was his goodwill. And he did it because it pleased him, and he chose me to the praise, Weymouth has it, of the sixth verse, to the praise of the splendor of his grace, unmerited favor. Some people work so hard to look like a good choice made by God. It doesn't show off any splendor of his grace. You ask them, they'll agree they were the right choice for God to make. And in their view, they don't need any changing. Here I am, Lord, you couldn't do better than me. I know God could do a lot better than me. Most of you know God could do better than me. Look at Paul. What a demonstration to the splendor of God's grace. Turning that one around, who made Christians to blaspheme, going the opposite direction. He would have been the last one to choose. God chose him, put him head of the line, right behind Jesus. That's showing off. God likes to show off. That's why many will come and say to him, Lord, Lord, we did thus and so in thy name. You say, depart from me, I never knew you. He does the picking. Showing forth the splendor of his grace wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Knox again is good, by which he has taken us unto his favor in the person of his beloved Son. When you act in faith on God's promises, which can only be done because he's placed something in you, in his choosing, added to that measure of faith then comes the implant of the Holy Spirit. And he's in us. Christ is formed in your heart by faith. Romans 8 makes it clear, when he's in us, we're viewed by God as in him. You're no longer viewed in your with blame condition. You're no longer like sheep gone astray seeking your own way. You've offered yourself to Him. He places us in Christ, views us as though we were Christ without blame. Having foreordained that we should be adopted into His family. I was saying at the close of the half hour, all other social connections dim. I'm God's son. You're God's son. You think it's a great cause to become a feminist? Oh, I have fun being a chauvinist. Well, that's kids' play. I'm in Him. I'm in the family of God. The old song said it, I'm a child of the King. Well, I'm covered with dirty garments, as portrayed by Joshua in the vision of Zechariah, standing before God intimidated because I'm clothed with a behavior characterized as filthy garments, and the accuser, Satan, stands there accusing, how dare you take him into your family? God said in that vision of Zechariah, shut up, Satan. Clothe Joshua with festive garments, in whom we have redemption through his blood, his life poured out, the price of my redemption. He chose me. Having chosen us, he purchased us. Before the worlds were formed, he figured out you and you and you and me were chosen, but he could not take us to himself without paying the price of redemption. He couldn't take us to himself without the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, the Beloved in whom we are placed. Choosing to become flesh and blood as we are, thus kinning himself with us that he might redeem us. And as the perfect servant praying in John 17, like the law of the perfect servant, he could have returned to his position in glory without us, having kinned himself to us. He said, I love my wife and my children, those born through the seed of the word, those chosen from the foundation to be adopted in the family. And he takes his ear, the symbol of hearing obedience, to the posts of the door and has it nailed to the door. He wants us. He redeemed us by his blood. We have redemption. The chosen. Nobody else. The price was paid for the whole world. You passing by tonight, tuning in, and all this falls as dead words on your ears, you just proved your position. If for some reason you couldn't keep going or came back, that's the Spirit drawing. Consider it. You're one of the lucky ones. The chosen who have the redemption applied, have the forgiveness of sins, can stand without blame before Him, according to the riches of His grace, unmerited favor. Wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. It was a wise choice. An economical choice. It's not a waste. Having made known unto us the mystery of His will. That's what we're talking about. That mystery of having chosen us according to His good pleasure to be recipient of this, having made known unto us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. Doesn't need any outside motivation. 70 years allotted seems such a long time. At 63, the years go by so much faster. I'll be 63 this August. But with God, there's no time. Paul talks of the pleasures of sin for a season. There's pleasure in sin. Galatians 6 says you can put all your money on yourself. Soul to the flesh. You love the flesh, reap corruption. Jesus said, lay up treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not corrupt. Thieves don't break in and steal. Blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Before the world's reformed, in God, where there is no time, he stood, I'm sure frustrated and momentarily shamed, as Satan, the crowning cherub on the mountain of God, the song leader in heaven who led the praises of God, lifted up in pride, led a rebellion, and a third of heaven's angels went with him. God didn't bend down low to help them. He didn't have a plan that included Satan's fall and his redemption. Before all the denizens of heaven, those that hadn't left and those who did, he purposed a plan. And we're part of that plan. By which he had show forth his grace and put us on display throughout eternity. That in the dispensation, verse 10, of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ. Both which are in heaven and which are on earth. Philip says it, everything that exists in heaven or earth. Those that are in heaven that did not rebel. Those of us he foreordained and chose out of his new creation, the earth and Adam and his descendants. Think of Satan's glee. He's not omniscient. He doesn't know everything. He knows God's plan. But this is the fool of eternity who rebelled against God in the first place. Think of his glee. Having been present in the councils of heaven when the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world was presented, when God's counsels foreordained the choice that includes you and me and all who went before and after. When before the flood he had so corrupted the earth that God's purposes seemed thwarted. And God had one family. Think of his glee when the rebel of the cursed family Ham through Cush had diverted the loyalties of the world in rebellion. And one man, Abram, was God's selection to preserve God's foreordained purposes. Put yourself in perspective and then analyze your temporary thoughts of giving up. your temporary complaints at the pain of continuing to lay up treasures in heaven. Your stupid fears of death and tribulation, which merely perfects the faith that's tried in the fire to give you greater legal tender in the bank of heaven. God intends to bring all things in the dispensation of the fullness of times that we're much closer to today, and that I'm teaching about the wind down in the book of Revelation in the cathedral each Sunday. Everything in heaven and here to be gathered in one, in Christ, even in Him, in whom we have obtained an inheritance. Alfred translates it better, in whom we were also made His inheritance. I've been on that verse. It's not our inheritance that's the subject here. We do have an inheritance, incorruptible, that fadeth not away. That's not the subject here. The subject here is God's inheritance, and I commented on it previously. You will work to preserve your inheritance. He works to preserve His inheritance, and I'm part of it. I'm part of God's inheritance, being predestinated, foreordained according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Can't pass this without bringing in Romans 8:28 properly translated. All things work together for good, the King James says. The literal is, God entereth all things to work His good to them which are the called according to His purposes. How many of you today, and me, whatever problem we faced, I thought of this with a dentist's hand in my mouth. I didn't see it. I didn't see how he could. But I believe even the little things, the hair of your head are numbered, the sparrow falls and God sees it. We are His inheritance. And how many of you thought today, whatever came down on you, I'm His inheritance. I was chosen before the worlds were formed. I'm foreordained to adoption in His family. He's working the good pleasure of His will. And whatever it is that landed on me today, God will enter into that to work His will to them which are the called. That's what we're talking about. According to His purposes. Or according to His purpose. Think of it. You that are the chosen, whatever happens, devil conceives his plans to destroy our faith. God enters into all things to work His good, leading us toward that fulfillment of His purpose and the flowering of His inheritance in us. He enters into all things to work His good to them which are the called according to His purpose. There are people never think of God until they get in a mess. Then they squall and bawl, God help me. Why should He? He ain't one of the chosen. You don't choose Him, He chooses you. Your behavior proves you're not one of the chosen. You never think of Him until you're in a mess. Why should He enter into all things to work His good with you? He don't enter into all things to work His good with everybody. He enters into all things to work His good to them which are the called according to His purposes. Think about it. Get on telephone. In whom also, verse 11, Ephesians 1, We have obtained an inheritance, as I said. That's not a good translation. Alfred is better. In whom we were also made his inheritance. The Greek makes it clear. The subject here is God's inheritance, not ours. Being predestinated or foreordained again according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. And we went to Romans 8:28. God, literally, God entereth into all things to work his will to them which are the called according to his purpose. Saying the same thing here. Weymouth translates it, whose might, his working power, carries out in everything the design of his own will. Knox says, for it is he who is at work everywhere, carrying out the designs of his will, and we're the object of that. Chosen in him before the world's reformed. You did not start watching this program by accident. It is so hard to get people to come to the cathedral each Sunday, for example. For God's sake. Most people go to church for their sake. Most people search out a church that does for them. The church, by definition, is a people that belong to the Lord, saints. God doing this, all this for you, and you can't be a testimony for him? A little martyring on Sunday to give a testimony for him in this great city that's the foundation from which this message reaches to the world? I determined years ago that if Peter could preach to a mocking mob, I'd preach whatever the situation. But come on, don't you think the inspiration to light the fire on this message is improved if you're there in the cathedral packing it to the walls with faith? It ever dawned on you that God credits you with the impact of this message to 170 nations in the world? As you're there Sunday holding my arms up, that's where the gemstone effort of this ministry goes out. You say, well, you're not playing live in Los Angeles. Well, you can get there to be a support in Los Angeles, to ignite the fire that goes to the world. They're able to hear it. Anywhere in the world if they get a shortwave radio. New English Bible, whose purpose is everywhere at work. 20th century New Testament, who in all that happens to you that are the called according to his purpose is carrying out his own fixed purposes, of which we're a part, that we should be to the praise of his glory. New English Bible, that we should cause his glory, the outraying, that's what the word glory means, outraying of his nature. That we should be, should cause his glory to be praised. Well, I come to church to get blessed. How about coming to church to cause his glory shining through you as you're there in faith, proving up your calling, that his glory should be praised. 20th century New Testament, that we should enhance his glory. There are people who say, God won't share his glory with anybody. Baloney. He chose us that we should enhance his glory. who first trusted in Christ. The literal is, in the 20th century New Testament comes the closest, we who have been the first to rest our hopes on Christ. Paul is writing, he's speaking out of the heritage of Old Testament saints, the first chosen of his elect, who were the first who, because of their faith, as Hebrews 11 makes clear, were placed retroactively in him and were the first who enhanced his glory, in whom ye also trusted. That's you and I who acted in faith, the second we, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. How do you react to the truth? Does it quicken you or leave you with no reaction? Or you're dead, man. You ain't one of those that's chosen. In whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance. Now we're talking about our inheritance. We are his inheritance. After faith is activated, he puts his Spirit in us, which is the earnest. Erebone is the word in the Greek. Part payment of that which shall be full, but the word is restricted in meaning. It's part payment of that which shall be full, but identical in nature to the full payment when it comes. In the New Testament Greek world, if you paid for something with hay as a down payment, you completed the payment with hay. If you were in a barter economy and you paid with corn, that was the earnest money. In old-fashioned real estate parlance, we give earnest money. Modern world, we call it down payment. It was earnest money. Part payment of that which shall be full. In the purity of meaning, I repeat, the part payment was identical in nature to the full payment when it came. You're paying gold, part payment, earnest money, down payment. You completed the payment with gold. What God is saying is the earnest of our inheritance is the Spirit he places in us. That seals, that's the seal of the Holy Spirit of promise. Because of our trust in him, he puts in us a part of himself, his life in us. And the part payment of our inheritance is eternal life. Part of it now in us. That's the full inheritance that we get, eternal life, until the redemption of the purchased possession. This is a degree of redemption beyond the price having been paid. It is the receiving by God of the purchased possession when our earnest, the part payment, the Spirit in us, becomes eternal life round the throne, unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. There's nothing on this earth as valuable as the knowledge of him in whom we have redemption. That's why the first task of the preacher, the first task of the gift minister, not all this other bunk that people look for from their pastor, the first task of the pastoring teacher is to perfect the saints to the work of the ministry, till we all come to the unity of the faith, that we come to the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ, to the knowledge of the perfect man. Knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. That's what I'm trying to do with this chapter. Open our eyes to the riches of what God is seeking as his inheritance in the saints, those of us that have given ourselves to him. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who faith, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality which bothers us, and power which bothers us, and might which bothers us, and dominion that crowds in on us on all sides, above every name that is named, Perot, Bush, or anybody, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Has put all things under his feet. Gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. That's what we are called to be. That dims every other goal anybody has on this earth. I came to town years ago, as I heard Glenn Campbell say in the Branson, Missouri special that was on another network. As he listened, he said to Dr. Gene Scott, Dr. Scott was always talking about God looking for a few good men. And Glenn Campbell said, I'm trying to be one of those few good men. And he sang a song that was dedicated to that concept. I'm going to have John learn that song, because we recorded it the other night as Glenn sang it. I came to town years ago saying I came looking for the uncommon man, seeking out those whose response would prove they were the called. I'm not fishing for a mob. I'm seeking by his word and the light thereof to have God's choice surface and get on his telephone.